For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Glory to God. I want you to give your full attention to the Word of God tonight. Your full attention, we'll see why in a minute. Let blind eyes be open, let ears be open, in Jesus' name. Father, we praise you and thank you. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the benefits that you've given to us through the salvation that you have given to us. And we praise you, Lord, and thank you for what you're doing in our midst and in this church. And Father, I ask that as we give attention to your word, that it has power and impact on us as we believe it, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Tonight, we're looking at Jesus as paid for your healing. So I'm going to look at it from a particular perspective. There's several ways we could look at this. We know that Jesus became a curse for us on the cross. And we need to understand a number of things in relation to how healing comes. You know, you made a good decision to be under the Word of God tonight. You've made a decision when you come along to church, particularly a Bible-believing word preaching church, that decision of coming along and hearing that word is a decision that 99% of people in our society are not even at that level. But that's not sufficient. It's not sufficient just to come and to hear the Word of God. We heard on Sunday that there's people that can come and hear, just like they did with Ezekiel, come and hear the Word and say, well, that's a lovely, it sounds like a lovely song, it's beautiful, it's pleasant, and yet they will not do it, they won't mix it with faith. It's got nothing. It does not take root in them, or they allow other things like weeds and so on to get in there, and that is a real problem. It is a major problem that is happening in the churches here. I pray that it's much less of a problem here in this church. But let's first of all go to Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Romans 1 verse 16. And I'm reminded that we have a full gospel salvation. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us a salvation that affects us spiritually, mentally and in the soul, and physically. Spirit, soul and body. Spirit, soul and body, that's a full salvation. And so when we talk about the gospel, we're not talking about just that you're going to heaven. No, no, God wants his people to live victoriously on the earth, even in the presence of sin, in the presence of sickness, in the presence of the curse, in the presence of devils, in the presence of adverse circumstances, in the presence of trouble. He wants you to live victorious whilst on the earth. Romans 1 verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay, so the gospel of Christ, specifically the word of God, comes to people, but that's not sufficient, is it? It's not sufficient just to have the gospel coming to you or the word preached to you. What do you have to do? What does it say there? How is it the power of God? Is it just this airy-fairy power that's floating in the air? What does it say here? It is the power of God unto salvation. That'd be salvation, spirit, soul and body. Okay, that's a full gospel salvation. Unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So something has to happen in a person's heart. Something has to happen in a person's heart. It can't be just, oh yes, I've heard all the healing scriptures. I know all about that. I've read the books. It's not sufficient. There has to be faith. There has to be faith that's mixed with the hearing. There has to be believing in the heart. And a lot of people have trouble with the believing in the heart because of a little word that I've talked about a number of times in this church. It starts with PR. It's called priority. What are you prioritising in your life? You know, there's many people right across this city need healing. They need it desperately. They need it desperately. There were people in the times of Jesus that needed healing, but what did they need to do? What did they need to do? Well, let's have a look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107 verse 20. Psalm 107 verse 20 shows us how healing can come to people. Psalm 107 verse 20 is directly related to that preaching of the gospel or the word of God coming to people. And specifically it talks about it here, Psalm 107 verse 20. It tells us, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So there's people that need healing, that need deliverance. People need deliverance from addictions. You know, there's people all over the place who are addicted. People need deliverance from problems in their soul. The Bible talks about healing of the soul. People need healing of their body. What does God do? Did He just say, well, I'm going to send power? Am I going to send power? Well, where is God's power resident? What does it say? What do we read in Romans 1 verse 16? The gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is the power of God unto salvation. What's this say? It doesn't say He sent His power. Okay? It says He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You'll see how important this is in just a minute. His power is resident in His word. The Bible says in, and we won't turn to it, in Hebrews 4 verse 12, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So His living power is invested in His word, and that living power that's invested in His word comes alive and is able to do things in people. That's the good news. Is able to do things in people as they believe. As they believe. And there's quite a lot of scriptures that talk exactly about that. Have a look at Luke 5 verse 1. Luke 5 verse 1. Well, let's just backtrack to Luke 4, verse 32, and then we'll go to Luke 5, verse 1. Luke 4, verse 32. Now, once you realise this, and I pray in the name of Jesus that there be revelation that comes to people, because this type of revelation came to me early in life. I latched on to healing and health early in my Christian walk. It was a lot more difficult for me because of various things in the prosperity area, but praise the Lord, he's helped me in that now. But one of the things that I really saw was the value of the Word of God. And Luke 4 verse 32 says, and they were, this is talking about Jesus, and they were astonished at His doctrine. It's an important word, isn't it? Doctrine. For His word was with what? Power. That's why He can send His word and heal them and deliver them. They were astonished. They hadn't seen this. It's like a revelation. And it should be a revelation to the church globally, and this has to be a revelation to the church globally, if it's ever to rise up in as that victorious one man, one body of Christ throughout the whole earth. This revelation that his word was with power and still is with power. That is a mighty revelation. And so it doesn't surprise us when you come to Luke 5 verse 1 where it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," what? To get a zap from the power of God? No. To hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and then it goes on and talks about miracles and things like that. But what were they pressing to do? What had they realized? What was that revelation that we just read in Luke 4, yeah. What was that revelation? That his word was with power. And so it was very important to them for them to get that word. And it should be very, very important for us to get the word as well. So the word of God on healing is present. The Bible is full of it. The Bible is absolutely full. But as I've said before, you can sit through all types of sermons on healing but not really believe it or put priority on other things. There are people that absolutely need healing, and yet they won't put priority on the word. They won't even listen to a sermon on it. They won't read the word. They prefer to sit for hours in front of the TV, for example, or in the internet or whatever. You know, this is rife right across the body of Christ, because the revelation that his word was with power has not yet dawned on a lot of people. And so we see here in Luke 5 verse 1, the people pressed upon him to hear, and that's where the inner man is here, hear, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? The word of God. What a great benefit to hearing the word. That's the way you get faith. This church has preached it over and over again. The way to get faith is to hear the word of God. Not just with your outer man ears, but with your inner man ears. So the revelation that really has to come into the body of Christ is that hearing the word of God and realizing that the word of God is with power, and then hearing it with a excitement that it is indeed the treasure of God that he has placed in our very hands. It is indeed the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so if they're pressing, if we see that in the times of Jesus they were pressing to hear the word of God, you might say, yeah, but Jesus was the most powerful preacher this planet has ever seen. Well, that is true. But you know, Paul said that he was rude of speech. He didn't claim to be a wonderful preacher, but he did claim to be a preacher of the word. Okay, and we read before in Romans 1, a book that was written by Paul, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So it's the word of God that's believed, that's taken on, with that revelation that we have to have, that the word of God is with power. Is with power. So then it becomes not just, oh, it's a printed book. I like it when it's read out. I like it even when it's preached. But then it doesn't bring about anything because, and we're going to see why, that revelation has not come to many people. If you look at 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, I think this is a real key, a really important key. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. So 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13. And then I would ask you tonight, and not just to the people here, but whoever's listening to this sermon, what priority are you putting onto the Word of God? If you do have need to be delivered, to be healed, what's stopping you? Well, this is one thing we're going to read here which is stopping people. In 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." So what's that saying? Okay, so here I am, I'm a preacher. I don't claim to be the greatest preacher this planet has ever seen. I do claim to be a preacher called by the Lord. But how are you receiving it? Do you really believe the Spirit of God is using whoever gets up here to preach in this church? You should. And you should receive it as the Word of God. Just like they were receiving it as the Word of God, not as the Word of men. It's very easy to sideline things and say, well, that's just his opinion, or that's just that. But there's a specific doctrine about salvation. There's a specific doctrine about healing. You know, when we say, by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, we're not just spiritualizing that away. We're saying that there was a transaction on the cross. There was, by the stripes that was laid upon him, by the fact that he was made a curse for us, he became sin for us, there was the Lord Jesus Christ there, bearing our griefs, carrying our sorrows, carrying our sicknesses and infirmities and diseases. That's a word. That's a word that we need to have a revelation of. But notice, how does the Word of God work? What does it say in verse 13 at the end there? "The Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now, we've talked a bit about this, where people can hear the Word of God and even acknowledge, sounds like a lovely song, sounds pleasant, but it's not sufficient. It's not sufficient. You've got to believe it. You've got to have that revelation that the Word is with power. The Word is with power, and receive it as the very Word of God speaking to you personally. Is the Holy Ghost available today? Yes, he is. He was sent specifically on the day of Pentecost, the body of Christ. Is the Spirit of truth available today to lead you into all truth, to guide you into truth, to reveal things to you, to show you things to come, and so on? Yes. And he does a work in us if we will let him. And I think one of the key things to having manifestation of healing and deliverance is to have that revelation that the Word is with power, and in fact is power, according to Romans 1:16. Have that revelation and then take that and say, well, I'm receiving the Word and believing it. I'm not trying to figure it out with my mind necessarily. That can come later. The Lord will reveal things to me. But I receive it as truth. And you know, we've got a pure word. We don't have to be concerned that there's error in the Word of God. This church doesn't use Bibles with error. We use a Bible that's pure. So we can take that word and say, well, it's the very Word of God. It's something we can take hold of. We can believe. We can receive. And as it says there, it can work. Where does it work? It works in us. It works in us. There has to be a work in us first. We've got to believe it in our heart, the Bible talks about. Confession, and confess it with your mouth. Confession is made unto salvation. The salvation of God. The salvation that God has provided for us. So as it says there, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. There are so many scriptures that talk about this type of thing. If you have a look at Hebrews 4. You've heard this one before, Hebrews 4, verse 2. And we also know 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, which talks about the scripture is given by God, inspiration of God, and is profitable. And it's profitable. It's profitable. The gospel is profitable too, because it says here, the word preached. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. There's the key. Mixing what you hear with faith. That's the way you get it to profit you. That's the way you get it so that the word is able to do something in you. But if there's no priority, if you put priority on things of the weed type category, that'll fill your heart. And the Bible talks about that choking the word. We don't want that. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ has given us the word. He's given the word. He sent the word for healing, for deliverance, for salvation. We see that in, as I said, many scriptures. Here we see we must mix the hearing with faith if we want profit from the word of God. We've got to mix the hearing with faith. And that's a decision. It's not, oh, I've got to feel like it before I can believe. That's a decision. I choose to believe. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I choose to believe the word. If you look at Matthew 8, we'll look at verses 13 to 17. Matthew 8, 13 to 17. So what I'm saying tonight, we're not playing around, because this is a serious thing. There, as I said, there are people all over the place who are desperate for the power of God in their life, but they've got no idea how to get the power of God into their life. That first revelation that they have to have is that His Word, God's Word, is with power. Okay, so if people really had that revelation, they would not be in churches or places calling themselves churches that doesn't preach the word of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? If they really, really want to be serious with the Lord, they wouldn't be in places which didn't have the word of God. Very, very important for us to understand. Matthew 8, looking at verses 13 to 17. So we see at the end of the centurion, the story about the centurion here, says, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, it had to be faith, it had to be believing, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and administered unto them. Verse 16, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. Remember, his word is with power, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So there's a word saying that Jesus has paid it for us. If we have faith that that's the case, we say, I choose to believe that Jesus himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. So this is a word that Jesus paid for your healing. Many other scriptures say that. The word comes. The word is coming tonight. The word comes to people. They can choose to believe it, to mix it with faith, and they can have that victory, which is so very, very important. We have a look, and we've seen this scripture once again. This shows this very, very important connection in Proverbs 4. Have a look at Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. So, when it talks about attending to the word, do it tonight. Okay? You should be looking at this scripture right now, Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in where? The midst of thine heart. That's where the believing is. That's where the sowing has to happen. It's where the revelation has to happen. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You may recall the story of Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, where he was bedfast as a young teenager. And they came to him and said, well, do you want novels and comics to read and all this? He said, I don't have time. I don't have time for that. Why didn't he have time for that? Because he had placed priority on the Word of God. And if you read his whole story, you'll know that the Lord raised him up. The Lord raised him up. He had put priority on the Word. He was continually getting into the Word. It was a whole Word-oriented thing. He was putting it into his heart. He didn't have time for these other things. And later on down the track, you probably heard of his healing centres, places where people could come, and a lot of them were very, very sick, but they could come and immerse themselves in a word atmosphere for hour upon hour upon hour. So it's not sufficient just to come to services and to hear a sermon, although just by that very fact of doing that, you're ahead of 99% of people in our society. It's not sufficient because there has to be that extra. Yes, I acknowledge that it's the Word of God, and the Word is with power. I receive it as the Word. I mix it with faith. I believe it. I believe its truth. I choose to believe. But we have to be active people, and this church will continue to preach healing and health right into the future, because God is wanting to get through to his people. Look, I have a full salvation for my people. I have something to give to my people. And you may not have experienced it yourself, but the Lord guarantees that if you put it in its right place, just like it's saying here, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. See, that's really where the spiritual warfare is about. You really have to fight the good fight of faith to combat feelings and distractions and so on that would say, don't do this. Because it says there, gives you the key there in verse 22, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. health to all their flesh. Health to all their flesh. So Jesus, it's no coincidence that he's one of his titles is the Word. He's the Word manifest. He was a Word preacher. He came and manifest God's will by his sacrifice for us. He's paid the price for us. The Lord Jesus Christ has done a wonderful redemptive work. And I'm going to finish with a couple of scriptures before I give you an invitation tonight. And I pray that tonight you haven't just thought, well, it's just Craig preaching and it's his opinion. And, you know, it sounds okay, but it doesn't really matter that much because I've given up anyway. We don't want to be that type of people. We want to be people that are growing in the knowledge of God. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. So let's look at that one first. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. What was the payment that Jesus made? What was that he did for us to be able to be healed and delivered and saved, forgiven? What was that redemptive payment that was made in Galatians 3, 13 and 14? It tells us here. It tells us what he has done. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now just looking at that tells us that we were under the curse of the law, okay? We were under the curse. We were cursed before he came to redeem us, to get us out of that. Redemption talks about a payment had to be made. A transaction had to occur. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being, what? Made a curse for us. Does that mean, and you can choose to believe this, you can choose to believe he was made a curse so that I don't have to be cursed. That's the choice you should be making in terms of believing. I choose to believe that Jesus was made a curse so that I don't have to be cursed. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. We should say, thank you, Lord, that blessing of Abraham has come on me because of the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And we've talked about tonight the work of the Spirit in bringing that word of truth real in our hearts. Bringing it alive in our hearts. So you do need the word, you need the Spirit of God to guide you into all truth, to show you the truth, to illuminate your mind and your heart. So what was that payment that was made for that redemption? We're going to finish off with that key verses in 1 Peter 1, verses 18 to 20, which shows us that costly payment, costly price. 1 Peter 1, 18 to 20. We've been redeemed, not with corruptible things. We've been redeemed, as we saw there, redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed with something that's precious beyond anything this planet knows, or in fact this universe knows. For as much as ye know, that ye, or do you know this? You should know this, it's a knowledge. Ye know that ye were not redeemed from corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Christ was manifest for you. The payment was made for you. And that payment was the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ bought your redemption. Precious blood of Christ bought your redemption. And when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he presented that to God the Father, and God the Father accepts that as an eternal sacrifice that was made, that price paid forever, never has to be done again. Once and for all, it says in Hebrews, that sacrifice was made once and for all for you and me, that precious blood of Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for the word of healing, the word of truth. Lord, we know that that word is with power. That word is with power as we receive what that word is saying, that Jesus became a curse for me. And he paid that precious price, his blood, the blood of God, for me. Lord, we choose tonight to believe that. We choose to believe that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed, because there was something that happened on the cross. He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. We choose to believe that, Lord. And it is eternal. The blood of Christ lasts forever. We praise you, Lord. We have blessing in our lives. And we receive that blessing now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.